Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, just in case you were wondering if the massive caravan now looks like it's swelled past 7,000 people, whether you think they're going to get here in time for the November 6th midterm election, it will not. And so it's going to take a while. They are 2,000 miles out. That is about, if you're going to do it in 16 days, which is what it would take, if you're going to arrive here on the day of the midterm elections, which is November 6th, that would be 16 days from now, 2,000 miles to traverse at least, which means it's about 125 miles a day. And that's not happening. They have been moving at like 20, maybe 25 miles a day max on a good day. But on average, probably about 20 miles a day, which means it's 100 days out, which means it would be February 1st by the time they would reach southern Texas. So this is an interesting situation going on right now because it brings up and has been made into, obviously, a campaign issue, which is one of the big issues that got Donald Trump elected in the first place. So my question for you is, you're the president for the day. Okay, let's just play that game today. You're the president for the day. And what would you do? Because if you deploy the military down on the border with Mexico, somewhere in southern Texas, down in the Rio Grande Valley area, if you deploy down there and they start coming across, anybody in this caravan starts coming across, what do? Shoot on sight? How do you think that's going to go over? The political coinage here is significant, to say the least, and a massive challenge, but not right now. So right now it's getting a lot of press, but they're not going to be here anytime soon. Like I said, if they average 20 miles a day, which would be good with 7,000 people and climbing, and don't you know, it's going to get a whole lot bigger before they actually get here as they proceed up through Mexico. And they're going to lose some folks. They lost about 1,000 the other day, 1,028 people. This is from a CNN story. Requested asylum in Mexico, Mexican authorities said on Sunday. And so you have some falling off, and some people in the quotes that they're talking to in the actual caravan are saying, hey, if I find a job, if I find some opportunity along the way in Mexico, I'm staying here. Most of them Honduras, that neck of the woods coming up towards America. But if it keeps at this pace, they might lose some people, but they're going to pick up a whole bunch too. I don't think it would be any less than 5,000. It's arduous. And that's a 2,000-mile journey. That's 100 days. And how do you survive if you're dragging your little kids along with you and you're trying to make that track up here? But let's say that 3, 4, 5, 6,000 of them show up on our southern border. What are you going to do? You send the military in there, and our military, they're not trained to be like police peacekeepers. They're trained for war. They're trained to, as Rush Limbaugh has always said, kill people and blow stuff up. I mean, that's what they're trained for. They're not trained for this kind of peacekeeping mission on the border. And clearly, we don't have enough agents and border security down there. So what do you do? Do you enforce militarily? Because, like I said, if a couple of people get shot, it could go south fast. You have a PR nightmare on your hands. You thought it was bad with the press from, you know, so-called separating families and putting little kids in jail and this, that, and the other thing, as we went down that road earlier this year. You thought that was bad. If the military's there and it gets violent, oh my goodness. So what do you do? What's your reaction to this? And there are groups behind it. There's a group called, I'm trying to see what it's called, Pueblo Sin Fronteras, which is a little bit like People Without Borders, but that's not the actual group. There's an actual group called People Without Borders. But in Spanish, it's Pueblo Sin Fronteras. They've been around for 15 years. And one of the main organizers is a dude that's not a very nice person. This is a guy named Bartolo Fuentes, who's a bit of a leftist, to say the least, and a radical, and has been for a while down there in Central America. And he's part of this thing. And so you got that whole situation, but they're coming up here. We're a, you know, quote unquote, a Christian nation. We're compassionate. We care about people. Yet there's the rule of law. So I'm curious to see what you would do. You're the president for the day. What would you do? How would you approach this? Do you set up a bunch of, bring in a bunch of agencies to help process them the way they should be processed, which means most of them aren't getting in? I was listening to Rush Limbaugh earlier today. He's like, bring in all these different agencies and get everybody's ID and take pictures and get thumbprints and get all that information and then put them into the system, and the system's not going to deal with them anytime soon. You know that, right? But you've got this whole catch and release problem, and the Democrats want to paint Trump as this horrific man that thinks every Mexican or Honduran and every Central American is a murdering rapist psychopath. And then he's talking about, well, you know, we're worried that there's going to be terrorists mixed in there. Of course, that's not based on any real information that we know of in the press. But man, this is an interesting situation. So I'm curious, you and I are, I assume you're a Christian, probably a follower of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Christian radio, Christian talk radio, and I certainly am. So what do you do with a situation like this? How do you approach it? 866-348-7884. I'm going to leave the phones open for the first three segments, and we'll talk to David Fisher at the end of the show, do a Money Monday update. Plenty going on there with the markets. It's crazy. But I'm curious of what your thoughts are on this. Do you shut the border down? Do you do that militarily? How do you handle this situation as they're coming up here? Do you worry about the compassion component, or are you just going to line up a bunch of soldiers, two and three deep, and just knock them down and push them back? And are you ready to take the heat that's going to come with that in the media? That'd be a total media firestorm, an absolute nightmare. But I've got several stories here and more information I want to share, but I'd love to hear from you today as to your take on this situation. And what do you think President Trump should do? What do you think the American response should be? 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Especially if you're a member of the military, one member of the military called into another talk radio show earlier today, and he was talking about what I mentioned a few minutes ago. Hey, the military is not trained for peacekeeping. They are not trained for that situation. You got 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people and women and children trying to cross the border. I doubt that they're all going to line up at the official crossing station. They're going to try to cross any way they can. We saw that already when they were coming into Mexico and people are lowering down off that bridge and getting down into the water. They're going to do whatever they need to do, most likely to get over here. So what would you do? How would you handle this? How are you processing this as an American, as somebody that I hope believes in the rule of law, but as somebody that's a Christ follower and cares about people that are less fortunate? How do you deal with this? What do you say in this situation? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I was going to pick up our first caller. Patricia, I'm going to leave you on hold because we're coming up on the break in about 25 seconds. So I don't want to get you on here and then not be able to talk to you. So we're coming up on a break. I don't want to kind of rob you of your time to share what you're thinking. So this is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show, talking about the caravan headed our way. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today, talking about this caravan, which is not going to be here, by the way, in time for the November 6th midterm election. They are 2,000 miles away. If they average 20 miles a day, which would be miraculous with now around 7,000 people, that's 100 days, which puts them at the border down in the Rio Grande area of Texas around February 1st. So this, they're not going to be showing up knocking on that door, but they are coming. And the question is, what do you do with that? And several people on Facebook Live are like, hey, these are invaders. The question is, what do? Do you stack up the military down there with the possibility that somebody's going to get shot? You have a Kent State situation brewing, maybe. How's that going to go for the president and the Republicans if they're down there? You know, because you know what the media will do. And that would be obviously terribly unfortunate, but it could get there if the crowds get wild enough and it gets dangerous. The soldiers are going to protect themselves. That could just turn into a total nightmare. But I want to go to Patricia, who's calling in from Albuquerque. And if you want to call in and share your thoughts on this, and what would you tell Trump to do? What's the idea? And this is real. This is real. This is a real deal. They're not playing around here. How do you answer this? If you have 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 or 10,000 people show up on the southern border around February 1st, what do you do? Let's go to Patricia, who's calling in from our Wilkins radio affiliate. Sorry, Patricia, to keep you on hold. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I want to thank you for being in Albuquerque. I really appreciate the show. I look forward to it every day.
Oh, that's awesome. Really do. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks, Patricia.
Yes. And you got these people coming up, and they know that they're not wanted here, and you got us thinking about the border. So I'm thinking when we all get together, obviously they know there's going to be a confrontation. We know there's going to be confrontation. Why can't we just find a middle ground and say, you know, you're not welcome, you know, up here. You're not allowed in the U.S., we don't want to do anything, you know, to hurt you, but we're going to have to if you proceed. And a way to get them to stop, and this might sound kind of silly, but if you shoot out their tires, how far can they go? I mean, not to hurt them, but just to stop them.
Right, but, you know, the challenge there, Patricia, is most of them are on foot. And I think that
the
message is that, not to say generally, we don't want, I mean, we believe in legal immigration. I think you would agree with me.
Right.
We want you here if you're willing to follow, and we know the process stinks and it's slow because it's bureaucracy and it's the federal government. But nevertheless, you have to go through the line like every other legal person that wants to come in, but
right.
We will not allow you to cross illegally. The question is, what do you do when they're on the border? And that could get ugly pretty fast.
It could. That's true. I just think we, as they're coming up, they know there's going to be a problem, and
yeah.
We're waiting for them. I just wish we could have something in place that could, you know, just put down the guns. Let's talk. You know, you're not allowed here. There's a process. I just think you're right. It's going to be a real mess whenever they do show up. And I'm hoping that by the time they do come, maybe they will have disbanded, or maybe they won't
yeah.
be as, I don't know. It's going to be a hairy situation no matter what we do.
Yeah, no matter what. That's exactly right. Patricia, thanks for calling in. Thanks for your encouraging words, too, by the way.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
You're welcome. You too. We'll talk to you later. 866-348-7884 if you'd like to chime in on what do you think should happen with this group. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And listen, one thing that you could do, and Trump's starting to put pressure on these other countries, right, which I think he should do. You know, he's going to start cutting off funding, and we aid to these three countries, to Guatemala and Honduras and stuff, about $500 million a year. And you start curbing that, but now it's too late because they're all in Mexico. So now all the onus is on Mexico. And what do you do with that? They have the incoming president there who's got some stupid ideas. I'll try to find what he said. It's just ridiculous. But who's behind it? You have to consider that. Okay. Yes, there are some people that are just getting caught up in it and they want a better life. And so they're willing to traverse what for some of them will be 2,500 miles. Unbelievable. And all the kids and stuff like that. But this is from an article that was on the Daily Signal. There is a guy, one guy in particular, behind this, one of the people behind it, organized by Bartolo Fuentes, a former Honduran legislator and member of the radical leftist Libra Party. He was detained by Guatemalan authorities on Tuesday for illegally entering the country. That was last week. Libra is not a political party, but a destabilizing movement. It was founded in 2011 by former President Manuel Zelaya. In 2009, Zelaya himself was removed from power after repeated attempts to undermine the constitutional order and rule of law. Zelaya is an ally of socialist governments in Latin America, like the Castro and Maduro regimes in Cuba and Venezuela. So some pretty nasty people behind all of this. This caravan antic is right out of the left's disorder and chaos playbook. Now, we're talking the international left, okay, but as well as the American left. This is, again, from this article in the Daily Signal by Anna Quintana, who's somebody that spends a lot of time down there. The timing before the U.S. midterm election and the change of presidency in Mexico is not coincidental. And it is also clear the caravan organizers are more interested in creating turmoil than the well-being of the migrants. The journey through Central America and Mexico is full of hazards, and migrants are frequently robbed, sexually assaulted, and go for too long stretches without eating. Some fall prey to human trafficking organizations. Women and children are particularly vulnerable to these crimes. The problem here is not a lack of compassion for these people, but rather the dangerous precedent created by allowing a massive caravan to arrive at the U.S.'s southern border, which is the biggest question to me. If you allow this, if Mexico doesn't come through, if they're not appealing them off and trying to give them asylum and things there in Mexico, and the most of them keep coming up to the U.S. border, and we do anything short of absolutely turning them away, if we do, it's 5,000 or 7,000 or 10,000 this time, but the next time it's 15,000 or 20,000 or 50,000, and then they get more well-organized, and you got people out there like George Soros who would love this. And probably not to sound like a whack job, but even countries like Russia would love that kind of disruption to way of life in America. They want to do whatever they can to disrupt us and to destabilize this country. And I'm not trying to sound like Alex Jones in InfoWars here. I'm just talking about the reality of what's going on internationally. Because if we don't handle this, if Trump doesn't handle this, if Congress doesn't handle this, and Trump's got all kinds of authority to deal with this, by the way, if they don't handle it well, it's only going to get worse. That's the whole problem, that we're to this point now, because all kinds of people, I was reading some articles and some quotes from here, from quotes from people in the caravan itself, and there's some folks in there that have been, there's one guy in here that's been deported six times, and I'm sure that's not uncommon. Six times he's been deported and he's coming back. Why? Because the odds are good that he can get in and be here for a while. because the system is so broken. Because we have a porous border. That's where we'll see what Trump does on the other side of the November 6th election. They talk a big game on this wall thing, and he talks about how they have some segments being built, but that's really minuscule compared to the overall problem. And you have to cut that off, and then you got to deal with the fact that the system itself is broken for legal immigration. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Joe on Facebook Live is like, water cannons disperse people nicely. Good. There's no way to win the PR battle. That's the first thing you got to know. If you're going to go down there, and somebody else has had a very interesting idea. Let's see, where was this? Oh, Alan, Anthony on Facebook Live. And if you want to call in, by the way, feel free. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Anthony Allen on Facebook Live said, let faith-based organizations work hand-in-hand with the border agents and military at the border and watch the left go berserk. So what an interesting opportunity. Let's get Samaritan's Purse. Let's get the Baptist Men. Let's get all these different groups, the Red Cross, to go down there to serve people. We'd have to get permission, because I would want to do it on the Mexican side of the border. We'll come across, get special dispensation from the Mexican government, and we'll set up and help these people. We'll get all their information, and we'll let you know. That's kind of like the checks in the mail. We'll get back to you. We'll let you know. So you help them on the border, but what are you going to do? Give them 30 days? See what I mean? And then you got to kick them out and send them back? Sorry, you can't come in. You're going to have to go back to where you came from. It's a PR nightmare, which almost the entire media complex will be against you, so there's no way to win it. But what do you do in a way to protect our national sovereignty? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. The website is always thestevenobleshow.com. You can join us, by the way, right here on Facebook Live. And when you're listening to a commercial there in your car, your home, or however you're listening today on any one of our great affiliates across the country, like Wilkins Radio there in Albuquerque. It was great to hear from one of our friends there. And if you want to call in and share your thoughts on this mess, the caravan that it's working its way. Now, it's got 2,000 miles to go. It's about 7,000 people. And they're averaging 20 miles a day with 7,000 people, which is impressive. That gets them here on February 1st. They're not going to be here in time for the midterm election. You don't have to worry about that. But if they keep going, they will get here eventually. And do you think they'll stay about the same size as they go through 2,000 miles of Mexico? No, they're going to pick up more people. Some will fall off, but they'll pick up more. My guess is if they keep it going and they get here on February 1st, it'll be 7 to 10,000 people. And what do you do then? 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, or 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think the American government's response should be? What do you think Donald Trump should do? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tim, who's calling in from Truth Radio down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tim, thanks for calling. Sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for what you do.
You're welcome. Thank you.
First of all, I think we have to fast-track the wall as the ultimate solution, because this will continue to happen. That's what Trump was elected for, one of the main things that he ran on and attributed to his election. But for this particular situation, I think you're right. We can't let it get to the border. We've got to try to stop it somewhere in Mexico. And I don't know if it's getting a bunch of C-130s and putting people on them and flying them right back to where they started from. But we cannot, if they do make it to the border, we've got to stop them no matter what, at all costs. I don't want anybody to get hurt, but that is an invasion, and we need to protect our country from invasion.
Yeah, and I think, and obviously that's a strong word, Tim, invasion, and oftentimes that would bring with it kind of a sense of a military invasion. But this is a group. One person on Facebook Live just said, oh, I just heard something on TV that it's up over 10,000 now. That doesn't surprise me. We're going to have, 10, 15,000 people on our southern border that are demanding to come in, and you have to respond to that. I like your idea. It has to happen on the Mexican side of the border, too.
Yeah, and I mean, but it truly is an invasion. I mean, if you're talking that number of people, that's not just some people looking for amnesty. That is an invasion, and they're waving flags from their country and making threats and gestures and things about that, they are coming in, and they are, sorry, that if you ask me, that's an invasion, and it's, we just have to stop it.
Yeah, and perhaps, Tim, that's the we need more aggressive wording like that to wake people up, because the Democrat Party is going to claim they're the party of compassion and we need to help these people. They just want a better life. That's the American way. Yeah, but they also forget that the American way is the rule of law. And without the rule of law, you just have chaos.
And, you know, if we can't possibly let in every person in this world that wants to come here, it's impossible.
No. And when you look at that, actually, where you have about 180 countries worldwide, the Mexican economy in and of itself, they're like the 38th richest economy on the planet. So you've got about 150 other countries that you're going to have to talk to. If all of a sudden we want to open the doors to people just because their economic life is worse off. There's 130 plus countries around the world that are way worse than Mexico. So what's the deal with that? Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Exactly.
Tim, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Talk to you later. Let's jump over to Francis calling in, another one of our Wilkins Radio friends. Francis, I think you're over there in the Indianapolis area. Thanks for calling in today. Go right ahead.
Hi, Steve. I'm just wondering, what does the Bible say? How does the Bible say we should treat this situation with that caravan coming to our borders? Is there anything within that gospel truth that gives us some idea about how we should treat this?
Well, there's a lot more, and this is always an interesting conversation. If we're going to call ourselves followers of Christ, we have to bring this in. This has to be our number one issue. Is what do you do? That's kind of this balance, Francis, because on the one hand, we have to care about the sojourner. You can go back to the days of the Israelites and how they dealt with borders, and they recognized borders in the Old Testament. That was sovereignty. That was recognized by God. It was fine. But then you had the sojourner, the visitor, the alien, the people that come into your country. But the Bible doesn't really talk about back there specifically that you have people coming into, let's say, the land of Israel via some kind of illegal immigration. So you have a compassion side, but you also have the rule of law. God instituted governments. That's ordained by him. That's because we need the rule of law. We can't have chaos. We serve a God of order, which is why he instituted government in the first place, because of our sinfulness. And so you have to have the rule of law, plus you have compassion. So it's not an easy answer, and I don't think the Bible says take anybody in all the time and ignore the rule of law, because that's chaos, and that's not God either.
So now we're under grace and truth, the New Testament, right?
Sure.
Now, the rule of law, is that a phrase from the Bible or something that we've gleaned from?
No, you can go look at Romans 13 and that we are to render. You could start with Jesus and Matthew and talk about rendering under Caesar. What is Caesar's? You can go to Romans under Paul and talk about that we have the purpose of a government is to protect the righteous and to punish the unrighteous, and that we're submitting ourselves to the governing authorities. That is the rule of law.
Yeah.
Right there in the New Testament.
Okay.
So it's both. That's the challenge, is how do you maintain the rule of law and be gracious at the same time?
Exactly, and compassionate. And
absolutely.
Yeah,
so I always say, hey, for the people that are here, Francis, regardless of their status, illegal or legal, we should love our neighbor as ourself. I'm not going to check you and say, hey, Francis, how much sin is there in your life? And that will determine whether I help you or not. I need to love them in the name of Jesus, regardless of where they came from. That's one issue. The other issue is, does a nation have an obligation? Does it have a right under God to protect itself? And it does. National sovereignty is easily defendable from a biblical perspective. So it's both. So that's the challenge. Once they're here, you have to love them and be compassionate. We do as Christians. But the government, their job isn't to represent Jesus. Their job is to represent the rule of law, which is why he instituted it in the first place. Francis, thanks for calling in. It's a great point. I appreciate
you.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. And see, that's the challenge. Now, you can go, and a lot of people go way too one way or the other. They don't think about compassion at all. They just say a bunch of stinking illegal immigrants and get them out of here. Okay, well, there is the rule of law. But while they're here, because my compassion towards you should never be based on some list of, I'm going to size you up and then decide whether you're worthy of my compassion. If you want to live like that, you're going to go straight to hell because you just got rid of the gospel. There's none righteous, no, not one, right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he comes to us despite our sin. He died on that cross despite our sin. Most of us, definitely myself, I spent 28 years of my life not giving a rip about what he did for me. But he did it anyway. That's grace, right? That's the deal. So we can't, there is no litmus test for grace and compassion for another human being. There is none. Are they alive? Are they human? Yes. Then you owe them grace and compassion. But if they break the law, there's also that, because we do not have a God of chaos. The Bible does not point us to chaos. It points us to order, because we serve a God of order. And that's why Romans 13, God instituted government. That's why in the Old Testament, you see order all over the place. It gets difficult. We talked about this last Thursday on Theology Thursday, how difficult it is to get through some parts of the Old Testament because there's all these rules and laws and specificity and lists of this land and lists of that. And you go, man, what's the deal with that? Order. That's the deal. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. And you have national sovereignty in the Old Testament. We are to render unto Caesar. We are to submit to the governing authorities, which is the rule of law. Does that mean all laws are just? No. That's the beauty of America, where we then have a right to participate to try to promote justice according to the author of all justice, right? So in this case, it's both. You show compassion to the, should we show compassion to these people on the border? Yes. Should we do it in America? No, because that's just bad. That's a lack of wisdom. Can we intercept them? Put pressure on Mexico, which is what I think we should do. Trump's trying to do that a little bit, saying, you know what, you need to go get your own consulates to go deal with these people. And maybe we can help them with some manpower or whatever. But maybe we get permission to set up some faith-based stuff on the Mexican side of the border to help these people while they want to come and claim asylum. Okay, then there's about 32 pieces of paperwork you have to fill out. We need to take your picture. We need to get your thumbprint. We need to do this. And then we'll let you know. And then what? Where do they go? What are you going to do? So that's why this is just a huge reminder. And then we're going to talk to David Fisher in the last segment, do a little Money Monday update. But this is a huge reminder as to why we are called to pray for those in authority over us. I say it all the time, and most of you hear it on the radio. I have a little spot that runs with my friends at Capital Commission. Pray for those in authority over us. Pray 1Tim2.org. So if you're not regularly praying for those in authority over you and over me, boy, that's dereliction of duty. That's sin. We were commanded to do that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray 1Tim2.org. Sign up for your state. You're there in Indiana. You're there in Albuquerque. You're over there in California. You can sign up at praywontim2.org. You'll see a map of the country, which means we have borders, by the way. And you pick your state and you sign up and you'll get an email each morning of some elected official to pray for. The federal level and then the state level. But this should make it painfully obvious why we need to pray for those in authority over us. Not to mention $21 trillion in debt and climbing. And under a Republican Congress and a Republican president, our debt this year on a yearly basis just exceeded what Barack Obama was doing. So we need to be prayerful. We need to be active. We need to be voting. And we need to be prayerful. Without that, this country doesn't have a chance. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. When we come back, a little Money Monday update with our friend David Fisher. And in case you hadn't noticed last week, it's been pretty wild on the market. We'll talk about that next. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A worthwhile conversation. We'll continue to talk about that with what's going on with that caravan, about 7,000 and strong and climbing, and we'll keep an eye on that. But again, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. They have 2,000 miles to go. If they do 20 miles a day with a crowd that big, which is kind of what they've been averaging, they're not going to get to the southern border of America until February 1st. So this will be something that the media is all over between now and then, but we're trying to speak truth into that, and let's make sure we're praying for those in authority over us. If you want to join me on Facebook Live, just go to Facebook in the search box. Just put Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, Steve Noble Show. You can join us on Facebook Live. And at the end of every show on Facebook Live, when we're done on the radio, we stay together for a few minutes after the show is over, and we pray. Today, we'll pray specifically about the situation and for our leaders to be able to deal with it. So we'll do that together after the show is over. And right now, talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, one of our great partners here on the program, and just a great blessing in terms of knowledge and information and wisdom as we deal with these crazy markets lately. And it's been a wild year along those lines. LandmarkGold.com is their website, as always, LandmarkGold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Steve. Thanks for having me on your program today, as always.
You're very welcome. Great to hear from you. And I know we're going to start in a passage of scripture, then we'll talk about kind of this wild ride we're on here, especially lately in the market. But 1 Peter 3:14, let's start there.
But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, and do not be frightened. Mm. You know, following Christ, some times can be extremely joyous, and then there's also trials and turbulence and turmoil we go through, and that's those that follow Christ will be persecuted, the Bible says. So just because we're believers in Christ does not make us immune from the human emotion of disappointment or despair or downtrodden, but we can look up, point our eyes to the heavens, and our salvation draweth near, because we have a Savior who can embrace every emotion that has been ever experienced, and he not only was God, he was man. And so when we face these times of suffering, I'm reminded of a dear brother that said, doing the right thing is always the right thing to do. So when we face those times, we have to ask ourselves, what is the right thing to do? What would Jesus do? And that's when we do that, that's when we're truly blessed, even though we face this opposition or this challenge in our life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what that hope of heaven is, what gets us through. And then when we're having a tough time because the world throws that at us, and when you're getting some flack for following Christ, I mean, he told us that was going to happen too. There's really nothing new under the sun, as we know. But that hope of heaven carries us all through, because as the scripture says, you know, it's a light and momentary affliction that it's working itself out to an eternal weight of glory one day. And then we're out of here. So
absolutely.
Praise the Lord for that. Well, last week, obviously, the markets were crazy and volatile. Today, finishing up down almost 127 points. So what should we expect this week? Is this going to be kind of a wild ride? And how can we look forward right now?
Well, this is about the same as we saw last week. The Dow is up a couple hundred points pre-market. I was watching it early this morning, and as you said, it closed down 126 points. So it's been a roller coaster. This is a continuation of last week. President Trump completely, clearly said that he has no intention of easing the tariffs on China, which caused more market turmoil. China and Russia reacted to that on Friday. They announced and they're pledging to reduce their reliance on dollars by increasing the amount of bilateral trades conducted with rubles and yuan, their currencies. And they also set up a system that's alternative to the SWIFT system, which is the U.S. system that was set up a few decades ago. Russia has now set it up. It's ready to being used, and they are using it. China's a part of it. Turkey's and India's talking about being a part of it. And also the European Union is, with China and Russia, are launching an interbank payment system called a special purpose vehicle that we briefly talked about. So there's a movement away from the dollar. And that's what's happening in foreign markets. What's happening this week is huge reporting of earnings are coming out this week. We're seeing a major reporting earnings, 149 companies of the S&P 500, Steve, are going to report their earnings this week. Just 10 of them are from the Dow component. 66 companies will report alone on Thursday. We're talking names like Twitter, Ford, AT&T, McDonald's, Amazon, all the major ones. The curious thing about this is that when we've seen the earnings the first and second quarter, what we saw was great earnings were going to be released. But while that was happening, the average stock fell 0.75% from the opening till the close of that day. And then after the report came out, then they recovered. So this tells us that there's a lot of anticipation of the news is actually better than reality. And so the markets are still a little bit turmoil. We're seeing weaknesses in housing, auto weakness. And some retailers having weaknesses. There's 1,300 bankers in New York having an annual bankers conference, and their stock should be, banking stock should be up quite a bit, but the banking index stock is down 16% year-to-date. So it's kind of a crazy environment we're in, and there's going to be more of it.
And it's interesting with earnings, because you can get a company that is growing sales-wise, their bottom line is growing, but they don't hit earnings, and then their stock takes a big hit. So how should we look at that? Like, what's the definition of that? Is that what the market says they should be doing? Isn't that what an earnings report is? The market expects this, and then reality is whatever it is.
Yeah, their earnings are put out by what analysts think they should be, and then the actual report comes from the company, and it's less than what the analysts thought it should be. And therefore, there's disappointment, which tells us analysts are trying to prop up the market higher, but reality of saying the market isn't where it really is. And in fact, that's something that we're going to talk about on our extended time in a couple of weeks. I'm going to go in depth on that. There's this dichotomy change between analysts and reality.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go in depth and explain that. I've been doing some studying in that. But just to tout a little bit of whetting the appetite, here's a great example. Oil is $68 a barrel today. While most energy stocks are still trading at the oil level when it was $27 a barrel. But they were saying we're going to have phenomenal earnings in the oil sector, and we didn't, obviously.
Yeah, and that's where, when we're talking about this, whether it's the Fed or you're looking at the analysts and what they say a company's earnings should be, there are so many external forces in the actual market versus the actual market itself that there's just manipulation all over the place, which is why I'm always nervous about this. So last week you were telling us about kind of taking a defensive posture, David. So are we kind of still in that mindset? And what does that look like as a regular investor to be defensive?
Well, we are in defensiveness. The Fed is raising rates. They're selling the balance sheet now at maximum capacity. And I said in January when we had peak market, when the Fed started selling their balance sheet, we're going to have market turmoil, and we've had it every month. Now we're at peak selling of the balance sheet, $50 billion a month. This is going to probably cause another 5% pullback in stocks. An analyst came on that's highly conservative, not the ones I've been talking about that are aggressive, that said expect a 5% pullback in stocks, not this week, but next week. We're having this on the face of interest rates going up, and we still have the tensions of tariffs between us and China. So this is causing executives to not have a whole lot of confidence. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks also, but be defensive. Take some profits off the table. Limit your debt. Interest rates are going up. Get conservative. Diversify into metals. And get some gold. There's some changes happening in the gold market.
Yeah, we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, and the precious metals is really the center of their wheelhouse there and has been for over two decades. Their website is always landmarkgold.com, a great partner here on the show, landmarkgold.com. But so any changes in the gold market since we talked about that last week, and how do we approach that as for people that are listening, David, that maybe have never been down the precious metals road before?
Huge changes in the gold market. Hungary announced they bought, for the second time in history, the first time was 1986, just last week, they bought a whole lot of gold, 31.5 tons, which is tenfold more in their reserves. They're joining ranks with Poland that bought gold last week, Russia, China, and other central banks. So there is this big movement towards gold happening. In fact, the Hungary equivalency of the Fed Hungary said gold is still considered to be one of the world's safest assets, in the words of the Hungarian Central Bank. So what does that mean for people? Well, when stocks went down and we're anticipating a correction in next year or maybe sooner, a gentleman from Barron's said 30% chance of a stock market correction in the near future, and he's been writing for Barron's 30 years, very well respected. When that happened in 2008, gold went 50% the first year on a multi-year run. So it's kind of like what we talked about before. Get some diversification, get protected, be a little bit defensive. We're not out of the woods, and we're going to see a volatile environment for quite some time.
Yeah, and you've got to tell us about the newsletters that are out as well as the white paper, because this is great information.
We have a newsletter called Back to the Future. Haven't we learned the obvious? Repeats some history, what we're seeing in the environment now. That happened in 2008, just more pronounced because of our debt structure. And it talks about tariffs a little bit on there and what China and Russia are doing, getting their currency to compete with the dollar. And there's a little ability to win some free silver at the end of that by getting the riddle there. And you can call our company to get the white paper, which is called Time is Up, which bubble will burst first to trigger the coming great deflate at 844-879-8882, or they can go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
David, as always, great information. Thank you so much for helping us understand these things. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Likewise, my brother. Thank you. God bless.
God bless. You too. We'll talk to you soon. Tomorrow, friends, talking about voter fraud, voter ID, with a specialist here from North Carolina as well as one from California. This is a huge problem, but we can all be a part of the solution. We'll talk about that tomorrow. God willing, I'll talk to you then. And like my dad always said, ever forward.